that is way. We have looked on the fact that Jesus Christ is the truth, meaning that Jesus is the answer to man's ignorance. And in the area that man needs most to be enlightened, morally and spiritually, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the truth. Today we look on the other statement. He is the life. Notice, the life. I tie that with the passage that was read this morning, taken from the book of St. John, chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Let us hear it.
I am the... By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
I am come that they may have life. Watch here now. Don't we have life? Don't the people to whom Jesus Christ spoke had life? Yet Jesus Christ is telling us here that he came that they may have life, and that he's going to add something to it. Abundant living. We want to look on some of the implications, some of the meaning, some of the relevant truth for us in this statement of Jesus Christ. Life. Widest and the most impressive and conspicuous distinction, difference in nature is that distinction between inanimate object and life. Let me repeat. The widest distinction and the most impressive and conspicuous difference or distinction that we see in nature is the distinction between inanimate objects that are dead, and living objects. There are a lot of distinctions, there are a lot of differences out there in nature. But the most impressive is between things that are alive and things that are dead. As beautiful as the earth landscape is, and it is, and as awful as our storm and hurricane and earthquake, maybe the interest in life, the interest that the scientists and The ordinary person shows in life is far deeper, intriguing, and mind-provoking than that which is shown in respect to the lifeless, inanimate object. The most of the research going on today all over the world is to understand more about life. Yes, research takes place in, and it's going on in the dead, inanimate things, the stone and the rock and the soil and whatever, but nothing is comparable in respect to interest to the one shown in the living. Now, as far as investigation can trace life. Start again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you. As far as investigation can trace life, living things, life always comes from life. That's a fact. Life always, that is as far as science, archaeology, objective investigation in respect to things that are alive, what has been shown is that life always comes from life. This is the law or the principle of lineal derivation or descent. That is, dead things is powerless to produce life. But there is something else. The evolutionist is wrong when they claim that life just evolved accidentally. There is a great book. I don't even lend it out. Cressy Morrison, who was once head of the, forgotten the name of the organization of scientists worldwide, once he had it, and in his book, Man Does Not Stand Alone, where he traced even the distance that Earth is from the sun and the moon. And that distance is what makes life possible on Earth. And what he points out, that had that distance shift just a little, life as we know it on Earth would never, is never possible. Now here is a man who, as country people would say, he's no Kwashi. What is the point? Life is not accidental. Yes, there are some things that the evolutionists said that are correct. How they put that? Well, let me not. Yeah. But when they talk about life evolved, that the earth, you see, they don't want to acknowledge the Almighty God. They don't want to give credit to God, even when common sense is staring them in the face. You know, brothers and sisters, All I need to tell me that there is a God is my fellow human being. No, truly. You could never be by accident. With your intelligence, your possibility. When you see things that man has built, that alone tells me man could never be by accident. Is it Sophocles, the Greek philosopher, who said, "The world is full of wonders, but nothing is as wonderful as man." So just you know, sometimes just certain parts of our body, I realize our tongue is one of the most versatile part of our body. Now remember, the tongue, it is what gives us taste when you eat. It is what directs your food so that in 99% of the case, your teeth does not bite up your tongue. It chews the food. And have you ever wondered? The scientist, I don't remember if it's Chris and Morrison, the scientist who point this out, that when we eat, there are cells that need particular vitamin or mineral from what you eat. And it takes that from the food. And other cells need something else and take that from your food. Oh my God. The design and the purposiveness in our body. Man could not be by accident. Wait, not only Sophocles. David says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Yeah. See that. Life is not by accident. Wait, neither the botanical, the plant life, nor human life, nor the animal life. Not by accident. Without the principle of lineal derivation, or lineal descent, whatever you want to call it, dead nature is powerless. It is by this divine principle that life comes from life, that man lives and life continues. Man, humanity that is, has always been seeking life. Man. We have always been seeking life. What I mean is, we have always been seeking a better life and a longer life. And a lot of the things we do, they are not ends within themselves. You are taking a class, a course, at a school, correspondence, the UC, or wherever you are taking that course. That course you are taking is not an end within itself. The bottom line is, you are hoping that it will help you to get a better job, and that better job will contribute to a better life for you. A better life for your children. That the bottom line is life. More comfortable, more peaceful, longer life, less illness, life. That's right. In fact, the health scientist, the health professional said, in trying to improve your life, you must not only think in terms of getting more years in your life, but getting more life in your years. That's right. What does that mean? Don't think just in terms of having a longer life, living longer. But your health is impaired. Think in terms of having more life. Wait. You may live to see only 40 or 50 years. But if those 40 or 50 years have been full of vibrant health and peace and joy, then you would have done well. So, don't think in terms of getting just more years in your life, but more life in your years. I have some news for you. Jesus Christ has come to give both. That's right. When Jesus Christ in the book of St. John chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 says that I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is saying here, I come to give you not only length of life, but quality of life. Isn't that what we're seeking? Isn't that what we need? That's what we need. Life. Jesus Christ says, I am the life. Are we there? Jesus Christ, the life, as I said, has come to put more years in our life and more life in our years. A better and longer life which humanity has been seeking since the dawn of time is available only in Jesus Christ. I need to repeat that. That the better life, the longer life that humanity has been seeking since the dawn of time, it is available in one person, and that is in Jesus the Christ. I am come to give life, to make you have it more abundantly. But look at what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let us hear that passage.
Who hath saved us?
Who hath saved us?
And called us with an holy calling.
And he called us with an holy calling. Wait. You're here today. You're not a Christian. Wait. I didn't say you're not a church member. Christianity, being a Christian, is completely different from being a member of a church. We're dealing here with being a child of God, God's way, the Bible's way. And I'm saying, are you here today and you're not a child of God? You have never submitted to the will of God according to the gospel. Wait. I didn't say according to your church. According to the Bible. If you have never listened the texts that are read and listen to the lesson, because the Almighty God may just bring you here today for you to listen to this lesson and turn your life over to Him. Yes. What the passage says?
That saved us and called us with an holy calling.
He called us with an holy calling. Wait, did you know that through this lesson today, Jesus Christ is calling you? Did you know that the only way by which you are called is not through your dream, is not through your vision, is not through the voice that you are hoping to hear? No. According to the book of, I think it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and is it verse 14? He calls you by the gospel. And that's the only way God calls you. In fact, that's the way He calls all men. What does that mean? You must hear the truth of the gospel before you can respond to God correctly. Read, brother.
And holy calling.
It is an holy calling.
Not according to our works.
It is not because we are good. That's right. Never think that you are so sweet and nice. You are so kind and decent that God had to pay attention to you. Don't make that mistake. Not according to your works,
but according to His own purpose.
It is according to God's purpose that includes His mercy and love for you. Read on.
On purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior.
Oh, is now made manifest, which means, Brother Blake, previous to this appearance of Jesus Christ, there are certain things that were hidden from mankind. Get me now. Read on. It's now made manifest. That means it's now made known. It's now revealed by the appearance of
our Savior, Jesus
Christ. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Read on.
Who hath abolished death.
Wait. I need to put death because... I need to put that there so that I don't forget it. Yes, who had Jesus abolished death.
And he had brought life and immortality.
immortality. He has brought life and immortality to
light.
Life.
Through the gospel.
Wait. Did you know this life that He brought to light is not this life? That's right. It's not the life that you and I now live. It's not the now physical life. He's talking about the life that He is. When He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the life under consideration here in Timothy. This is the life that before Jesus Christ, men and women, the greatest servants of God, didn't know much about it. That is life in Christ after death. Men and women before the coming of Jesus Christ did not know much about immortality. The Bible says that the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's right. That's why men and women who want to take you back to the Old Testament law given to the Jews, they are taking you back to darkness and ignorance. That's right. Because based on the planning and purpose of the Almighty, there are certain things that God held in secret. They were never revealed and were never meant to be revealed until Christ and the gospel came. And among those things is life. The life that is available in Christ, immortality and immortality. It was Jesus Christ who brought those to light through the gospel. The gospel is important, ladies and gentlemen. Did it say something there about death, brother?
Who has abolished death?
When Jesus Christ came from the tomb the third day. May I have your attention? That's why today in the Bible is called the Lord's Day. It represents Jesus' victory over sin, over death, and over the grave. Jesus Christ abolished death. Are we there? Christ did not like funerals. Every funeral Jesus Christ ever attended, he broke them up. That's a fact. Jairus' daughter's funeral. Christ stopped the funeral, broke it up. How did he do that? When them a think about burial and what and fixing up body, Jesus Christ raised that young girl from the dead. That is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 18 through 25. The second funeral we are told about was the young man. If my memory serves me right, I think he was the only child for his father. Jesus Christ again broke up that funeral because Christ didn't like funeral. That is found in the book of Luke chapter 7, verse 11, verse 16. The third funeral we read about that Jesus Christ attended is that of Lazarus. In fact, this one, he was buried. That's right. He was buried. In fact, Lazarus' sister told Jesus Christ, be careful how you interfere with that grave, because by now he's decaying. But that did not lead Jesus Christ. He rose Lazarus from the dead. Every funeral that he had ever been to, Jesus Christ broke them up, because Jesus Christ has come to give life, not to encourage death. In fact, even when you're dead in your sin and trespasses, Jesus Christ wants to take you away from that. The life we now live, though this life seems so nice, the life now live is not the real life that God intends for us. Oh, you thought this was it? No, sir. The Bible tells us that if only in this life we have whatever, we are people who are miserable. This is not the real thing that God intends for us. The life and time we now enjoy or occupy, don't know you want to put it, the time you and I now occupy or enjoy, the life you and I now occupy or enjoy, is probational. Not just the life, but the time that is given to us now. For God's own reason, he does not give all of us the same amount of time. Huh? Some people die when they are 16, some die when they are 18, some when they are 20. Some when they are 40, some 50, 60. We have just lost a brother, Brother Brown. He was 99. That's right. But whatever time God has given you here, It is probational. Probation, which means you are on trial, you are on test, you are on examination. You see, they have a life. That when Jesus Christ says, I am the life, he's not talking about this life. We are coming to that. The other life is where we are heading for. Every man, every woman. Wherever the person is on earth, you're heading for eternity. That is the life that the Almighty God intended for man. This one is really, and the time too, is probational time. The Almighty God is seen looking how you use time now, huh? And he's looking now how you use this life now. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? It depends. God is watching how you use your life to respond to Jesus Christ and to serve him. God is looking how you use time to serve God. Huh? Mr. Mitchell, the Bible not talking nothing about time. Unless you read a different Bible from the one I read. The one I read tell me to redeem. Help me here. Redeem the time for the days are evil. The word redeem means to buy up, utilize, make good use of. That's right. Redeem the time. Use it wisely. Make proper use. Because we are living in evil times. So we are on test. That's what this time is about. We are on examination ground. Are we there? You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says, there remaineth. Of course, the passage in consideration is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. We're not going to read that. I'm just using that as an illustration. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. That means there is a rest that is outstanding. It has not yet come. Well, I use that to say, real life has not yet come. That remains. That's right. But the probational time and life given to you and me now is given to us to make preparation. There is a life which is distinctively Christian. There is a life which is distinctively Christ. Christ's life. It is the life of eternal bliss. That is not possible in this physical world. You think if you have a lot of money, no, sir, you are deceived. If you think money will bring you the total peace, total contentment, serenity, joy, and eternity that you want, you are saddened. Just observe what's going on in the world, the people with money. In fact, sometimes when you have it, you get so miserable trying to keep it. That after a while, you begin to sorry you have it. The dreadful thing, if you do away with it, you're miserable. And if you keep it, you're miserable. Now, this life was not meant. We will never have heaven in this life. There is a life that is distinctively Christian and which is traceable to Jesus Christ alone. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. This life which Jesus Christ alone possesses is given or communicated to obedient believers. I need to repeat that. This life which Jesus Christ alone possesses, no man, no thing can give you eternal life in peace and bliss. It is Jesus Christ is the possessor. And that life is given or communicated to obedient believers. Let me hear John 9 and 10 again. Quick, brother, there are a few passages I must cover before the lesson ends.
I am the door.
I am the door.
By me, if any man enter in.
You see, Christ is teaching this with the fact that he takes for granted that some entrance must be made. You must enter. If any man enter
in, he shall be saved.
Yes.
And shall go in and out and find pasture.
Read on.
The thief cometh not but to steal,
mm-hmm,
and to kill and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
I am come.
They see it, and you know. Read on.
I am come,
uh-huh,
that they might have life.
I am come to give you life, that you may have life. Means I am come to give you life. Wait, and this is telling us that the life we now have is not the life he's talking about. Because the life he's talking about, we do not yet have it. I am come that you may have life.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
That is for Christ alone to give. Here are some texts that is talking not about this present physical life. Let us just run through a few of them. Let me just, in fact, there are two or three points I want to just cover. Time is really slipping away. One, Jesus Christ is the possessor of eternal life. That is eternal life in bliss and peace and total contentment. Jesus Christ is the possessor. And when Jesus Christ said, I am the life, that's the life he was talking about. Let us look. What did I say? He is the possessor. Look at John. That is St. John chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 15 and 16. Quick, brother. John 1, 4.
In him was life.
In Jesus Christ was life.
And the light, and the life was the light of men.
Wait. And the life
was the light of men.
Was the life of men.
Light of men.
Light of men. Jesus Christ's life. In him was life. This life in Christ is the light of men. Are we there? Look now at chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. St. John.
That whosoever believeth in him,
uh-huh,
should not perish, but have eternal life.
Eternal life is for Jesus Christ alone to give. It is found only in Christ. That was verse 15, 16.
For God so loved the world,
uh-huh,
that he gave his only begotten Son,
uh-huh,
that whosoever believeth in him
should
not perish, but have everlasting life.
Remember, that is not talking about the present physical life that you and I now possess. The life under consideration here is eternal life in bliss, to be found only in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20.
For everyone.
Verse 36.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Y'all hear that? That's not this life. Anyone who believes. Wait. Believes here stands for the total plan of salvation. Wait, I need to fix that. Read the passage again, brother.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
You see, believe. Believe here does not mean just believe alone. The point is that once you believe, you will repent. Because that is must. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's right. May I? At the time of this ignorance, God winked at but now commanded some men. Thank you for the contradiction. Commanded all men everywhere to repent. So everybody, without exception, if you're a man, woman seeking salvation, not only must you believe, you must repent. You must also confess Christ's name. Put it another way, Mr. Mitchell, you must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He said to us that if you're ashamed to own Him here, He will be ashamed to own you before His Father. Isn't that right? But not only must you believe and repent and confess, you must also be baptized. You notice I write this out because I can't afford for you to see the B and forget what that was. You must be baptized. So when the Bible talks about that, read that verse 36 again, brother, quick.
He that believeth on
anyone
the Son
who believes on the Son
hath everlasting life.
Point is, you must believe, and that belief drives you to obedience. That obedience includes repentance from sin, confession of Christ's name, and baptism for the removal of your sin. That's right. That's God's of salvation.
And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life.
But Christ, you don't know who he is. Say, I'm alive. You see, it's not, you notice the last part of the verse? Shall not see life. And you're saying to Christ, I'm alive. Yes, but it's not talking about this temporary, miserable, physical life. It's talking about blissful, eternal life. No sickness, no pain, no challenges, no tears. That's the life available only in Christ, who is the possessor. Look at John chapter 5, verse 26. Again, I'm not going to turn to 1 John chapter.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
This is not talking about the present physical life. It's talking about the life eternal, everlasting, that is possessed by Christ, and Jesus Christ wants to give each one of us that life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested.
What do you know? For the life
was manifested.
Was manifested. That's talk about Christ. Notice it called him the life. Was manifested.
And we have seen it.
We have seen it.
And bear witness.
Bear witness.
And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us.
We show unto you that eternal life. So Christ is the possessor of eternal life. This is a different kind or quality of life. Jesus Christ is also the author. In fact, I'm going to end on this point. Jesus Christ is the author, our source of life, immortal, and life that is packed with blessedness. Yeah. This last point, we wrap up. I beg that you listen. The life of created organism, vegetable, animal, that includes human being, is a brief and a perishable life. There is no man or woman in this audience who does not believe in death. Every one of us here believes in death. We have come to see that the best of us die. So we accept death as a reality. That's what I mean, that in the vegetable world, the animal world, life is perishable. Are we there? They are only for a season. Animal life, vegetable life. But the spiritual life which Jesus Christ gave, that life is beyond and it is above the action and the working of scientific biological law. The life that Jesus Christ gave is beyond and it is above the action and the working of biological law. Which, what do I mean? Biological law have control over my physical life. That's a fact. I live so long, or you live so long, and you die. That is the law of biology God made. But from the action of this law, the law of biology, the spirit or soul is exempt. Biological law does not have any power over our spirit or over our soul. Wait, or over the spiritual. It has power over the physical life. All of us will live and we die. May I? Look at Matthew 10, 28. Look at John 14, 19. Quick, brother. Matthew 10, 28. John 14, 19.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy.
Brother, wait. Something going to kill the physical body. Some ailment, some man, some knife, some gun, some stone, some tree fall on you. some electrical current shock you, something going to kill the physical man. Christ said, that's not the important person. He said, but the spiritual man, that is our soul, our God-like part. Huh? What he said?
But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
That means God you must fear. Let us hear John 14:19.
Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
You all hear that? Notice this. Because I live. That means because I continue to live, you, my followers, will also continue to live. Did you all know, and especially our visiting friend, death is just a transition. It's where we pass from one kind of life to another kind. So what we are encouraging you this morning is to seek the life eternal that Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ promised this blissful eternal life only to those who are in Jesus Christ. And who shall be found, watch here, faithful to him at the end. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, I am the life, he was talking about eternal life. It is promised only to those who believe and are obedient to Jesus Christ and who will be found faithful to him at the end. Quickly, brother, one or two more passages. And 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13. 1 John, quick. 5, 11 through 13.
And this is the record.
This is the record.
That God hath given to us eternal life.
God hath given to us
eternal life.
May I? You notice the passage speak of it as if we possess it now. The passage speaks of eternal life. And while I cannot go in detail with this now, it simply is referring to the fact that we are enjoying the promise or the promises of eternal life now. But the real eternal life is to come. But that we are enjoying the promises of it, many passages in the Bible speaks of it as if we are in possession of it. Read, brother.
Given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son.
This life is to be found only in Jesus Christ. What verse is that?
End of 11.
Read on.
He that hath the Son hath life.
Anyone who have Jesus Christ, you have life.
And he that hath
that is not physical life, but eternal life. Read on.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ and obeyed his plan of salvation, it does not matter how much you go to church. You do not have this life. Ladies and gentlemen, how Jesus Christ brings this life to you is by one, his first advent, when Jesus Christ came. Jesus' sacrificial death, Jesus' resurrection, his plan of salvation to bring you into fellowship with him, And by transforming us into sons and daughters, these are the means by which eternal life is given to us. As the brother get ready the invitation song, how does he give it to us? When he came here the first time, his sacrificial death at Calvary, his glorious resurrection, his plan of salvation, which when obeyed, it brings us into fellowship with him. It transforms us from being sinners to being saints. These are the steps, are the means by which Jesus Christ imparts unto us eternal life. Eternal life in Christ can be yours today. Remember, there are many other passages which speak of life. Never misinterpret these passages in thinking they are talking about this life. They are not talking about this life. They are talking about spiritual, eternal life which is available only when you put yourself in Christ through obedience to the gospel. You believe, you repent, you confess faith in Christ, and you are baptized in Jesus Christ for the removal of your sin. Romans. If you want to understand baptism better, read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 5. We are going to stand and sing a song to the honor and glory of God's name. As we sing this song, it's a good chance for you to step forward, indicating that you want to be in Jesus Christ through baptism. You want to become a child of God, because only when you are in Christ will He give you life eternal. As we stand, Jesus Christ calls.